nanohub.org.
You can follow along with this presentation using printed slides from the NanoHub. Visit www.nanohub.org and download the PDF file containing the slides for this presentation. Print them out and turn each page when you hear the following sound. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Tim, for giving us the opportunity to show up what we're doing in the NCN. So the title of the talk that I go and give these days, it's called Future Cyber Infrastructure Serving Over 60,000 Users Today. And what that is indicating is that following the huge investment by NSF on Nano as a programmatic effort at NSF, there will be another one that is following that is focused on cyber infrastructure. It's going to be a similar investment. And the NCN is hooked up into both of these worlds. We're part of the Nano effort, and we're a critical part in the development of cyber infrastructure. So to give you an idea of what that means, I'm going to give you an overview. And first of all, I'm going to highlight what the NCN mission and strategy is. NCN is the Network for Computational Nanotechnology. It is really meant to connect computational persons with experimentalists and educators, and basically put computing into the hands of people that wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Really deliver services, disseminate knowledge, promote collaboration, and develop the next generation of computational scientists, and enable research and education, not just one or the other, but be operational for the community. The strategy we have is that we must be driven by pioneering research. You'll hear a statement later. We actually don't fund research, but we're connected to pioneering research. And we have programs for students, faculty, and professionals, and we developed and deploy something called cyber infrastructure. So what is the cyber infrastructure? It's the NanoHub. It's a website where you can do online simulation interactively. You can look at seminars, etc. And you'll see a brief video of that. And here's a world map of the users. We have over 60,000 users across the world now. We support and engage the community. And the key technologies we've enhanced in the last year, to give you an overall overview, we have over 100 tools in the deployment pipeline. We have connections to the libraries, so we are, in a way, a new way to publish information and tools. We have something in the pipeline now, like a recommendation engine. Like if people that have used this simulator have found this seminar useful, so you can find, similar to Amazon, information on the NanoHub. We'll have a prototype of a virtual economy to entice people to contribute, to earn nanos, and to spend nanos on simulation and questions. We're working on a submit infrastructure to grid and cloud computing, and we've improved our rapture environment. we've started to create four new hubs with a Hub Zero technology that really comes out of the NanoHub development. The NCN as a structure is a network of university consisting of NCN at Berkeley, NCN at UIUC, Purdue, Northwestern, Norfolk State, and UTEP. And the idea is that we don't fund research at those places, but we fund efforts that connect us to ongoing research efforts that help us to deploy content on the NanoHub. We have a professional site lead on these sites and a faculty site lead. The professional site lead is, in a sense, the person that polishes the doorknobs and finds people on campus that have content that could be useful for the community. We have teams of faculty and students. We have visibility and impact that we provide as an NCN node on the national scale. We have professional support that we provide, and we have student diversity education and research programs that we support. And we've worked on architecting a structure like that so you can manage multiple university nodes and have efficient work being done on those nodes. We must be driven by pioneering research. The four elements that working on are nanoelectronics, NEMS, nanobio devices, and we recently added nanophotonics as an emphasis area. You'll find those items on the front page of the NanoHub that are gateways into these areas. And the way we see this is that we research and education drive content that is deployed on the NanoHub, but that's not enough. Really, that content must cyber-enable research and education. That is how we close the loop. You can't just dream about throwing stuff over the wall and then hope somebody's going to use it. You have to be also part of the first user team to really utilize it. And the interesting success story with that is that people outside look at us as a research center. Here's a quote from Intel that says, we look at NCN as a leading nanotechnology research center. We don't fund research. Okay? There's a fundamental contradiction there, except it's not. We are connected to research, and we have associated projects that do research and that are NanoHub and NCN enabled. We have efforts in graduate student education, undergraduate, pre-college, and faculty and professional development. And all of these are efforts that are funded by the NCN and Burke and other entities here at Purdue. So what is NanoHub? It was formulated in 1995 around online simulation, but then a whole lot of items were added in around 2003. There's podcasts, even of seminars and tools, and we're forming a community around this. So now you'll see something unusual. In my presentation, I'll be quiet for 5 minutes, and I want to show you a video that Michael McLennan has made that is just too beautiful to pass up.
Imagine a technology that helps you explore a new area of science. And not only download resources, but learn from leading researchers online. Not with blurry videos, but through animated seminars where you can hear the speaker talk and clearly see his slides. Where you can search for concepts and get right to the point. Imagine having fingertip access to simulation tools that are easy to launch. Tools with intuitive controls that are well documented. And results that are readily visualized. And not just one tool, but dozens of tools that simulate many different phenomena. Tools that are not just Java applets, but real research codes that are connected to national grid resources. If you have questions about the results or the underlying models, imagine being able to ask experts throughout the world. Or being able to add your voice to the rest of the community. Imagine a new way of publishing. Where you can upload your own resources to share with others.
to build your reputation or as outreach for your brand. Stop imagining. The cyber infrastructure of the future is here today. It's a software package called Hub Zero, which has been powering nanohub.org and serving thousands of users for more than 3 years.
We have a new way of thinking about electronic devices. We have a new way of simulating them. And by disseminating courses and instructional material, MATLAB scripts that people can download to see how it works, by allowing people to run simulation programs through the web browser, it's allowed people to learn these new techniques, and it's disseminated it all across the world.
I have always been, and I always will be, a big supporter of the NanoHub because I see a great use of it. Every classroom has a projector and a computer. So when I want to demonstrate something like a band structure of silicon, I just go to the NanoHub, log in there, and run the band structure tool. The students can play with these tools and understand better the physical principles.
And I didn't find anything like this anywhere else searching through the web. So it's kind of one stop for any person who is interested in knowing about electronics and the latest work being done in that area.
Now, that same software is being used to build hubs for other scientific disciplines. Hub Zero, the cyber infrastructure of the future, powering science today.
All right. So let me try to give you an overview of what the impact is that this has had. So first of all, one thing to take away, it's a free account. Okay, it's free to anybody in the world. You don't have to be my buddy. And I still go to conferences and present the NanoHub. And at the end, somebody nudges me and says, can you sign me up? I'm dead serious. Computing has been diminished or relegated to people that are on the inside, that you get onto a supercomputer, you have to know somebody to get on. This is an open infrastructure. That is very unusual in this environment. The other thing is it is interactive visualization. It's not like we create some data and let you download the data, and then you have to do your own visualization, your own rendering, and put it into your own pipeline and your own Excel sheets, and then compare data. But you can compare your simulation results to previous results online interactively. You don't have to be a pre-installed computer geek in order to be able to do that. That's a critical item. And I want to oppose that to the typical web form simulations that you might find out there. And this is a former screen dump of the service that we had started from 1995, WebForms. You fill out a bunch of numbers, you hit run this tool, and then you get this screen that says, well, I'm running, and you manically press that refresh button. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Once you're there, man, you're really there. You have a file browser that gives you GIF images. So you click on that, and you get to animate. You get to look at this GIF image. Well, you try to zoom into that GIF image and do anything with it. You try to compare that GIF image to any previous result. What you would have to do is go back to the file browser and maybe download the data and put it into your own visualizer, and there you get to compare. By the time you're done, you have no visual feedback of what your simulations were doing, and you probably forgot what your question was. So this is not necessarily a very powerful way to go about simulation. To make this case even stronger, I pulled out one tool that has about 62 citations in the literature now. And here's one Journal of Applied Physics of last year. So this tool is being used for research. And here's a plot of the monthly users of this tool dating back to January of 2001. And basically, you see roughly 10 users per month, and a couple of poor suckers that have to use this tool in the classroom. Why do I use that term? Well, they didn't come back. It wasn't growth in there. They did the homework assignment or the classwork, they didn't come back. But then you see a phase change. There's a whole background change here. And that coincides with the introduction of the interactive services of this tool. This tool was converted from web forms into an interactive, usable tool. What's most striking is the number of source code downloads of this tool. Here's the number of source code downloads. So the 10 people that were using it probably also tried to download and install this stuff because they weren't really served well. And then the demand for it grew, and then it suddenly stopped. People are not downloading and installing the software. In principle, people are not interested in that. They could still download it. It's not off the site. It's still there. Today you can download it. And we see that with about this is now the annualized numbers. So you see a really dramatic change here. And we see that with all the tools that we converted. We converted about 20 or 30 tools from the old system into the new system. All right? So the key is, it's about usability, of really being useful to others. These are the number of citations in the literature that reference the NanoHub or the software on the NanoHub over the years. And there's 215 of them now, and about 60% are from non-NCN people. So that is a very rigorous count in the sense that if there is a Purdue person, he or she is automatically considered an NCN person because we might have provided some internal support and all that. So it's really people that I don't know. So 60% of the citations come from the outside. To make this a little bit more concrete, I'm going to put out statistics, usage statistics for one code. Here's a nanowire code. It's been used. These are the user numbers by over 1,000 users that ran almost 10,000 simulation jobs. And to make this a little concrete, the student that you saw in the video was formerly a student at the University of Cincinnati, who in the time span of August 06 to April 07 ran some 3,000 simulations. And about 3,000 of those he used his nanowire tool. And these are his monthly runs, and you see they kind of spike up and they go down until April. And this is the plot of the CPU hours he's consuming with all of this. And you notice that the plots are slightly different. That means although he was running less, he was running more sophisticated models. He was learning more. And in this process, he looked at about 52 hours worth of and more content, seminars and tutorials that he accessed in this process. And also the code keeled over at least 27 times and sent an automatic message, and he sent 69 manual tickets to have the system reworked on when he had trouble. So in April, things settled down for him a little bit. He went to his first conference and presented an IEEE workshop paper that was on process variation in silicon nanowires. So that's why he ran so many simulations. He studied what happens as these device parameters fluctuate. He highlighted the tool in his PowerPoint slides. He got new signs. He wrote a paper. He cited a paper. I know you can't read it, so let me blow that up for you. Simulations were performed on nanohub.org. And above and below, he has the citations to the original tool authors. So those are the kudos back to the original tool developers. There's other people that are using now also the NanoHub for education. Here is an example from Philip Wong at Stanford University, who has some really nice things to say. He used the resonant tunneling diode simulator in a material science lab in his class in 2005. And he uploaded his homework assignment into the NanoHub. So he became a new contributor to the NanoHub. And then the student in the 2005 class did something interesting. He learned in his classroom about the use of a certain tool set. And why am I talking about a 2 or 3 year old event? Well, 2 years later, he published a paper on circuit models for NDR devices. So he's a circuit person, not necessarily a device person. And in that paper, he uses the NanoHub to simulate devices. So here you see a closure of a loop of a student who comes into graduate school, learns about tools, and uses the same tools again, for research. So the distinction between a research tool or an educational tool is really blurry. You can't really make out what it's going to be used for. Now, this professor gets really excited, said, well, I got tools too. So he starts to deploy his tool onto the NanoHub. And within a year or so, he has some 215 people use this tool end-to-end that ran some 1,200 simulations. How do we do this? Well, we can take simulation codes that don't have user interfaces and very rapidly put on interfaces that look as beautiful as this. Now, you might say that might take a lot of time. Undergraduate who doesn't know what carbon nanotubes are in 2 days, all right? So faculty members, if you think this is not for me, it's too hard for me to do to put up something like this, it's not. And the beautiful part is we can do this in any of your favorite computing languages, whether you wrote your code in C, Fortran, Python, Perl, MATLAB, Tickle, Ruby. You name it, we can put this on the NanoHub and make it work. And we did for 86 tools in the last 3 years. And there's over 200 now that are in the pipeline or active projects. And what I'd like to highlight is a typical science gateway, if you go out and talk to the NSF community, they develop tools like this. One tool in 3 years with two or three developers. I can promise you that I don't have 86 tools times 3 years worth of time times three developers and have the funding for that. So we do something radically different, and Purdue is at the forefront of doing that. This is your opportunity to interact with theorists and also you experimentalists. I'm sure you have analysis and modeling tools that you use on a day-to-day basis that we may not even have knowledge about, that you can make useful to your community. To give you an idea of impact, here's an undergraduate student that was with me in a SURF program, a Surrey program, for a summer and then the fall. He was involved in five tools. These five tools over the last 2.5 years have been used by 3,500 people. And these tools as an aggregate have accumulated 109 citations in the literature. This is an undergraduate working on this. Okay? You can do the same. I can show you a similar statistic for graduate students. The punchline there for graduate students or undergraduates, I'm sure that if I write a recommendation letter to a student, I can have really substantive data to show for what the impact was this student has as an engineering student. And if that is an ongoing faculty member, I'm sure he has an outreach program almost started for his career proposal. We manage the software projects on something we call nanoforge.org. You might be familiar with SourceForge. So we do something similar for nanotechnology. There's some 980 resources on the NanoHub right now. 340 were added in the last 12 months. And we typically use recommend a Creative Commons license, which is basically an open source license where everybody can use the content, reproduce it, and use it as long as it's not commercialized. And our number one contributor is Supriyadatta. He has 132 elements, contributions on the NanoHub. But I hate to tell you, he's falling short. He's falling short one person to 10,000 people using his contributions last year. All right, so this is an important thing to take away. You can really have global impact. Now, here's a world map, well, of course, the world is the United States, right? Sorry, been here too long. So here's a U.S. map with NanoHub users. In the last 12 months, we had 35 million hits. You might be familiar with the word web hits. You might be familiar with the MIT definition of visits to a website. We have 1 million visits. The way we define users is as follows. It's a person that is registered and runs a simulation. It's a person that spends, or an IP address, that spends 15 minutes on an interactive seminar or tutorial continuously or more. Or it's an IP address that downloads content. Right? If any of those three are satisfied and we don't double count, we had 62,000 users in the last 12 months. Of those, about 6,200 ran simulations. They ran over 250,000 simulations in the system. We're at all top 40 engineering schools. And the next number blows me away, actually. There's about just over 7,000 .edu's in the United States. We have at least one user at 14% of those. Nano is a tiny area, pun intended, but we are at 14% of those institutions. That gives us a huge visibility. This is the real world map right now, right? So about 50% of the users are in the United States. And the rest of the users are everywhere there where there's light on at night. So this is the famous NASA image that literally trails civilization that has infrastructure support to run computers and lights. So you see the Trans-Siberian Railway right here, right? You see where Australia is populated. You see the few hot spots in Africa. Same with South America. As the video had pointed out, we're disseminating this technology into other areas of science, in medicine, in manufacturing, in global engineering, thermal engineering, and pharmacy. And I'm going to close out on this slide to give you a view of the opportunity you have to participate, to contribute, or to use. Thank you very much.